Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. Today we have the next quick reset, which is things I can't say in the playground. You're listening to this week's quick reset because sometimes the only thing harder than parenting with ADHD is pretending that you're fine around other people who definitely don't have ADHD and definitely don't get it. Here are 10 things that I can't say in the playground, but I'm going to say them here for you because I want you to know that you're not the only one that thinks this. Now, with these 10 things I can't say in the playground, the details of the story might change, but the core experience is going to be shared. So change the specific part of the story, but you'll still recognize the emotion behind it. It's universal. Also, know that I have primary school aged children. So these examples of what I want to say are going to be more centered around having children that want you to walk in to pick them up or drop them off, and being a bit more hands-on with the primary school approach. Obviously, high school might be slightly different examples, but I bet you when you do the pick-up drop-off to keep an eye on the teenagers, there'll be a similar thing that you'll be thinking. Number one, I know that your child reads chapter books. I can see them holding Harry Potter. I'm more than aware that my child just ate a texter and then they called it protein and laughed. However, I've also seen my child lick windows, which I find completely disgusting. So for me, that's actually progress. Two, if I seem distracted, it's because I'm running about 17,000 things in my mind, plus a risk analysis of being here at school and hoping that a teacher doesn't come to have a quick chat to me. Three, no, I haven't enrolled them in gymnastics, violin, Mandarin this term. I'm basically still trying to remember the library bag day, and I'm trying to remember what child has NITS and when I did the last treatment. My child also is struggling at basic English, so they're not going to be learning another language. Four, this is a personal favourite of mine. When you say he's just being a boy, I die inside. He's not just energetic, he's actually dysregulated, and I'm actually exhausted from being told that he's just a boy because it's actually not about him being just a boy. He's actually coming off stimulant medication and I'm trying to keep him regulated before he flies off the handle. So when you say, just let him go, he's just being a boy, you actually have no idea what you're talking about. Number five, that is great that you pack a bento box full of the most beautiful, healthy food. That seems great, and I find it infuriating that you have to tell me about it because my child eats Twisties and a cupcake, and that is it all day. And you know what? I'm fine with it. Number six, thanks for telling me that I look tired. I've actually just finished crying in this car park. I haven't had lunch. I feel like shit. I haven't slept in about 5 years. And when you have a little chat to me about how the weather is, honestly, I haven't looked around. I don't give a shit what the weather is because I am in survival mode, just trying to get through the day. Seven, I cannot go to the park or go on a play date sporadically, spontaneously after school. I have to prep for that mentally and physically. I usually come without having lunch, being dehydrated, and I'm not going to take my child coming off a medication to the park and prolong the mayhem of this. I can see our kids playing tag. I want to go home. And the absolute last thing I want to do is do small talk spontaneously at the park with people I don't want to talk to. I need to emotionally prepare for play dates after school. Number eight, when your child said, why is insert my child's name always last? Why can't they play handball very well? They may not have meant anything by it, but I felt that deeply in my body. My child has orthotics, they're hypermobile, they have been doing physio for gross motor skills for years. I'm doing everything to protect his small spirit so he doesn't realize that he is the slowest runner alive. I know that your child didn't mean anything by it, but the innocent comment killed me a little bit inside. But yet I'm still smiling as if it doesn't matter. Nine, sometimes I leave the playground or school early, not because I'm busy, but just because I can't be bothered and I can't mask for just one more minute. I'm overstimulated, the kids crying, people touching me, pretending to laugh at someone's joke has cost me like an hour of recovery. I do not have time for this. I do not have the energy for this. I'm sorry, I will probably never know your name. It's not personal. My brain is so full. I struggle to recognize faces. And if you're not standing directly with your child in the same spot near your car, I absolutely cannot remember who you are. It's not about you, but I cannot remember names and faces, and I definitely cannot remember each of your children's name, and I'm so embarrassed that you remember mine. No, I can't join the PNC committee. I just want to say I'm barely surviving parenting, and it feels like I would drown and show what a disorganized mess I was if I actually tried to contribute. I don't think you want me on your PNC. I'm one, opinionated. I have rejection sensitivity dysphoria, so I will create drama without meaning to, because I will become upset about something which no one else will think is a big deal. And also, I will absolutely not do that well. I have bad organization, I have poor executive function, poor working memory. You absolutely do not want me organizing anything for you. I wish you knew how much you don't want me on the PNC. Yes, I'm late again, but I'm here and everyone's wearing pants, so I suppose that's a good day. I'm not on my phone because I'm being rude, but I am kind of Googling some very odd behavior I've seen from my child just now. No, we didn't do homework, but we did get here, and that for me was a massive win. If I see standoffish and I'm standing back, it's because I'm really trying hard not to cry in front of my child's friend's parents. I definitely don't want to compare our kids because I'm just noticing my child climbing into the bin and your child is doing their times tables. When you said that ADHD is overdiagnosed and you don't believe in medication, and also said that you, one, don't have ADHD and don't know anyone who has it, I literally switched off halfway through your sentence and I just wish you would stop talking. No, I don't want to come to your essential oils party. Trust me, you do not want me there. There is no amount of lavender that will fix what is going on with me. And finally, my personal favorite. If someone says to me, you know that child, the one that's hitting others, you know the one that's always running around, is always hurting people and the kids always talk about him, you know that one, I think he has ADHD or autism or something. In that moment, it's hard for me to find words because what I want to do is start screaming. But the number one thing that I want to say in those moments is, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, which is basically what I want to say. You need education, you need to learn about inclusion, and you need to teach your children inclusion, because that attitude is much more damaging than any damage that you think that that child with unmet needs has. And you need to check yourself. That is the number one thing that I want to say. And I reckon I hear that comment every month. I hear that from someone. So it's not that ADHD mums are antisocial, we're not dramatic, but it can be really overstimulating for us, particularly when we do such a busy morning run for the school drop-off. And then some of us work, or if you don't do paid work, you do the unpaid work, which is arguably more boring and painful because you don't even get paid for it at home than what the paid work is. Then you go up to pick up. And often a lot of us have not eaten, not drunk because we're trying to get there so quickly and we're running late. And then we arrive already overstimulated. Then we have to put our mask on before we get out of the car, and that can be exhausting. Studies show that autistic and ADHD women report chronic masking, specifically in social situations involving children, which would be playdates, birthday parties, school pickup, drop-off. All of that actually creates more masking. And this masking leads to burnout and depression and even more serious mental health conditions. All of that research will be in the show notes. So it's not that we hate people necessarily, even though we may joke that we do. We're not always avoiding them as a general thing, but we can be really avoiding the mental load of translating ourselves into something that's kind of digestible and okay for other people. I don't find the playground relaxing. It's a full-blown sensory emotional gauntlet. And sometimes if you have other children who are neurotypical who are doing different things to your children, it can be really confronting. And then you mix in a neurotypical parent that makes some remarks like, oh, how is your child going with this or with that? And they don't necessarily mean it in a malicious way. That's the way they do small talk. But that small talk I find to be basically like a red hot poker on my nerves because I am already aware. And they're obviously finding out, realizing and having a small chat with me, but that small chat is really aggravating at times. So if you throw in some school politics, competitive parenting, a little bit of judgment, that is just an environment that ADHD mums are going to struggle in. So what do we hear from other people that completely invalidates this experience? One, it's just chit chat. Why do you take it so personally? Other people enjoy it. I don't know what the problem is. Well, the fact is that every chit chat is actually a performance where your body has to actually go to a different frequency, a bit like a radio. It actually has to change frequency in order to actually communicate with the people around you. There's a lot of research around the double empathy gap, and that is by Milton. I'll put that in the show notes. But basically, it means that we don't always understand neurotypical people, meaning that it's not that we don't understand neurotypical people, but it's because we are actually misunderstood completely a lot of the time. If you like, I have a guide on my website. It is called the ADHD Mum School Pickup Guide. It goes over neurotypical people, how to spot them, how they talk, what the problems are, what the issue is with communication, how to speak to them, how to spot the neurotypical, the neurodivergent mum. It is so detailed in the communication around playground pickup and drop off. The other objection that I hear all the time is, but other parents manage it fine. You may have a partner, an extended family member who's also neurodivergent, and they say they manage it fine. Now, they may not be masking to the same level. So, for example, I'm just going to use an example, my husband. His mask and his personality is actually not that dissimilar. Communication-wise, pickup, it is definitely a smaller gap for him to mask than it is for me. So for him, going to pick up drop off takes less energy and he can do it for longer with less time to recover afterwards. But he also, can I just say, goes in fresher. So a lot of the ADHD mums, we are under a lot of pressure during the day. If you have a partner, extended family member that is working and that's their sole focus, that's all they do, that's their one focus, it may be easier for them to transition to a pickup situation than it is for an ADHD mum who's sitting in burnout and overwhelmed chronically. So for us, we can struggle with that chronic burnout, overwhelm all the time, and we may have a bigger gap from our personality to the mask we need to put on. Also, I will say from my personal opinion, I believe that there is more of an expectation on an ADHD mum to communicate, to know it all, to understand, to be on top of it, than it is for an ADHD dad. So the mask that you may have to have may feel like a bigger ask, a bigger task than others. I've had so many situations where a teacher, an admin person, will say goodbye to my husband, have a lovely conversation with him about the weekend, and then hit me up via email or phone about all the other things that need doing because they've gone back to the default parent. So, ADHD mums, we aren't just tired a little bit, we can be neurologically exhausted, like a long, long time to recover. There's a very big difference between taking a deep breath in the car and then feeling calm and ready to go versus you have been suppressing your overwhelm for like at least 20 years, and a couple of deep breaths in the car is not going to cut it. Other objections I hear is, oh, but you seem so friendly, friendlier than me. What do you mean? Yes, but the fact is that that's actually a trap because a lot of us do seem friendly. We do put that on. We do seem, air quoting, good with people. But friendliness is also a survival skill. It's not always connection. It can be masking. It can be a strategy to prevent rejection. If someone's warm, funny, and helpful, it may be to cover that they're falling apart. Now, if their natural personality is not warm, funny, helpful, really friendly, and to actually continue to do that every day and have that personality, or otherwise people will say, are you okay? And for me, if someone touches my arm and says, are you okay? I will 100% burst into tears. So I will absolutely prefer to go over the top for 10 minutes, even though it will kill me inside, than to risk somebody else touching my arm and asking me if I'm okay at pickup. So if you've ever felt like you're the only one scanning the crowd for someone who might get it, getting on your phone, putting your head down, hoping it will all be over, that actually can be a pretty normal experience for an ADHD mum. These are things that we carry whilst performing our politeness. It can be the inner monologue behind a forced smile. You could be nodding along, but just having so much inner criticism inside. You could be burnt out from being misunderstood. If these things that I've talked about are real for you, they are valid, and that's okay. You don't need to feel guilty if you dread doing it and you try and get out of there as fast as possible. Take the pressure off. You've already started just by listening. I'll be right here next week when you need a reset. Thanks for listening.